Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Sefer Yonah, Chapter 3, Perek Gimel. And our learning today will be dedicated to our wonderful Chayalei Tzva Hagana Yisrael, for the swift return of all of the hostages and for the healing of all the wounded in this war in Gaza. Chapter 3 of Sefer Yonah takes us back to square one. If our book began, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Ben Amitai Le'mor Kum Lechel Ninveh Ha'ir Agdola Ukra Aleha, and the word of God came to Yonah and told him, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call against it. Listen to chapter 3. Vahi devar Hashem el Yonah sheinit lemor. The word of God came to Yonah a second time. Kum lechel Nineveh ha'ir gedola ukra aleha et hakriya asher anochi dover elecha. Call against it the proclamation that I am giving you. Kum lechel Nineveh ha'ir gedola. Vahi devar Hashem el Yonah sheinit. We're back at square one. Where the book began, Yonah tried to run away. He tried to die. And we're back at Groundhog Day. We're starting again. And God is instructing Yonah to do exactly what he told him to do. And this time, Yonah will perform. It's fascinating to think about it in this regard, because when we look at the book of Yonah, many people have noted that chapter 1 is parallel to chapter 3. And chapter 2 is parallel to chapter 4. That might sound very confusing, so let me say it very simply. In chapter 1, you have an environment, the boat, and the boat has people in it, the sailors, and the captain calls out to all of the people, and they pray to God. They're in danger, and then they're saved from danger. Well, that's like the story in chapter 3. There is a environment. It's not the boat, but it's the city of Nineveh. There are the people of Nineveh who are parallel to the sailors. The king of Nineveh is parallel to the captain of the boat. And just like the captain said, Kum Malachan Yiradam, he calls on everybody to pray. Likewise, the king is going to call for everybody to tshuva. Here, the people are going to fast rather than pray. And in the end, they are going to, the danger which the city is in is going to be averted. Interestingly enough, at the end of both stories, Yonah, in chapter 1, Yonah is thrown out the boat. In chapter 3, Yonah leaves the city out to the Midbar, a place where he would not be able to otherwise live. Chapter 2 is parallel to chapter 4. In chapter 2, we find Yonah engaged in a conversation with God. He's in the sea, he's in the belly of the fish, and he prays. Likewise, here, we are going to have he's going to be in the wilderness, and God is going to Vayaman, he's going to give him a kikayon, something which can protect him and give him shelter, just like the fish. And he's going to have a conversation with God, even a polemic with God. So it's fascinating to see this book in two stages. Chapter 1 and 2 are sort of one story, and then chapter 3 and 4 form the next iteration of that story. And maybe that's what we're seeing here, as that we're seeing Vahi Devar Hashem El Yonah Sheinit, right? And the word comes to Yonah a second time, Kum Lechel Ninveh. In a way, we're back at square one, and the stories very, very intimately parallel one another. Vayakom Yonah Vayelechel Ninveh Kidvar Hashem. This time, God says Kum, and he does go up. He does listen to God. V'Ninveh Haita Ir Gdola L'Elohim. Ninveh was a large city, a great city to God. Not clear what Le Elohim means here. Malach Shloshit Yamim. 3-day journey. Well, Nineveh is certainly not a 3-day journey from Eretz Yisrael. So some people suggest it is 3 days round, because Vayachal Yonah Lavo Ba'ir. Yonah went through the city. Mahalach Yom Echad. He went a journey of 1 day. So if it's 3 days to walk around the city, then it is 1 day to cross the city. And he says, In 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. And the people of Nineveh, like the men in the boat, believed in God. They called for a fast. Vayilbashu sakim. They put on sackcloth. Migdolam vad katanim, from their oldest to the youngest. And the news reached the king of Nineveh. He got off his throne. He took off all of his royal clothing and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he cried out and said, an order for Nineveh, by order of the king. A decree from the king and the nobles of the city. Ha'adam v'habeimah v'habakar v'atzon al yitamu mu'uma, al yiru'u mayim al yishtu. The people, neither people or animals, herds or flocks, may taste anything. Don't let them eat, don't let them drink. And let all the people and all the animals, they should all wear sackcloth. And let everybody cry out to God. V'kru'u el Elohim b'chozka. Let everybody call out to God. So first he says they should fast, they should all wear sackcloth, they should all pray. And lastly, v'yashuvu ish midar kohara'ah. Let each person give up, repent from their evil ways. U'min ha'chamas sasheh b'kapehem. And from the violence, possibly chamas, or from the stolen goods in their hands. Mi yodea, this is still the king talking, who knows? Yashuv v'nicham Elohim v'shav micharon apo v'lo noved. Maybe God will relent and he will turn back from his fury and we will not perish. That's the pronouncement. Vayar Elohim et masehem ki shavu midarkam hara'ah. And indeed God saw what they did and that they turned back from their evil ways. And vayinachem Elohim al hara'ah. And God changed his mind. He relented about the destruction. Asher diber la'asot lahem. Some of you may be hearing the language of the eagle Hazahav. Vayinachem Hashem al hara'ah she diber la'asot la'amo. The same phrase here. Vayinachem Elohim al hara'ah she diber la'asot lahem. God decided not to destroy them. V'lo asa. That's the story. The question that we want to raise today is, did people of Nineveh, was their tshuva a thorough tshuva? Was their tshuva a genuine tshuva? Did they genuinely repent or not? And here we have a discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. Shmuel says, no, it was a totally genuine tshuva. Afilu gazal marish uvna'o babira, mekakea habira umachzir marish laba'alav. Even if somebody had stolen goods and they had taken a beam from somebody, and they had built it into their mansion. They knocked down the entire mansion in order to return the beam. That's Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ma shehaya b'kaf yedehem hichziru." Whatever was in their hands, they returned. They returned to the owner. B'sheda teva migdal. Whatever they had in a storeroom, whatever they had in their closet, lo hichziru. And in truth, both sides have something to rely on in terms of the textual evidence. For those who say that they did a thorough tshuva, a thorough repentance, well, look at verse 10. Vayar Elohim et ma'asehem. God saw their actions. Ki shavu midarkam hara'ah. That they had repented from their evil ways. And as a result, God changes his mind. We couldn't have more objective evidence that they had done tshuva. On the other hand, the opinion which says that just what was in their hands, they took, you know, what was in their pockets they gave back, but that which they already had in their bank account they didn't, relies on the phrase where it says, V'yashuvu ish midar kohara'ah umin hachamas asher b'kapehem. Each person should go back from their evil ways and from the stolen goods which were in their hands. But that which was in their closet, that was which what was in their safe, they didn't give back. And you know, there's something very, how should I say, extreme about this tshuva. Because when do you have, I understand, a tshuva to call to the people that they should all fast and cry out to God and change their ways? But what's this shtick with the animals? What's happening there? Why should the animals fast? Why should the animals all put on sackcloth? Some people will say that, well, wait, all the animal feed was also stolen. But then maybe the animals are stolen, I don't know. But, you know, in that case, what's the idea of the sackcloth? It all happens so quick. It all happens so in extreme ways. And that's where we see another opinion of the rabbis, which wants to suggest that what they did was phony. This is in the Yerushalmi. Amar Rab Shimon ben Levi. Rab Shimon ben Levi says, "Chuvashal Ramaut asu anshe Nineveh." As the men of Nineveh were trying to fool God. Rabbi Huna b'shem Rabbi Shimon bar Tachlufa says, "He'emidu al galim mibifnim ve'imotehem mibachutz." What's this idea of the animals? They put the calves inside and the mothers, the nursing cows outside. Siachim mibifnim ve'imotehem bachutz. The young donkeys inside and the mothering donkeys outside. Va've'elin gai minhacha, ve'elin gai minhacha. And each one was bleating. The animal inside was bleating because it was hungry and wanted its mother. And the mothers wanted the child. And Amrin, they turn around to God and says, "In let mitrachem aleinan, if you don't have mercy on us, leinan merachemim aleihem." Almost like bargaining with God. You know, if you don't have mercy on us, we won't have mercy on them. They're somehow trying to bargain with God. They're trying to bribe God. They're trying to somehow force God's hand so that God will have mercy upon them. They don't want to have a system based on din, on justice, but rather a system based on rachmim, and they're trying to invoke God's mercy. We're going to carry on this discussion tomorrow as we get into chapter 4 and finish the book. Really, did the people of Nineveh do teshuva? And did they deserve to be for the decree to be rescinded? Or were they somehow fooling God? Was this just a passing fad? Was this just a temporary moment where they feared? But when the critical moment, when the threat was removed from their heads, they just returned back to their old ways? When you learn the chapter, see what you think. What do you think? Was it genuine or was it not genuine? And we'll talk a little more about this, please God, tomorrow.